Welcome to a refreshing podcast from Life Church. Get ready. The Word of God will be planted into your heart and will produce God's best in your life.
Let's get into the Word. Father, we thank you for the awesome opportunity that we have to delve into the Word. We thank you that you have something good for us, and we receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, I started talking to you about living free, and that's actually what the title of the series is. It's called Free, simply Free. And when this came to mind, I didn't envision chains being broken, a cell being opened, being delivered, and that's all true. But what came to my spirit was literally free as a bird, just the right to live unhindered. And one of the definitions that have come to my heart is that freedom is being able to live God's purpose for your life unhindered. Unhindered. And one of the frustrating things about life at times is when you know that there is so much in you, but you just feel so contained. You feel so limited, but you can feel the greatness on the inside of you. You can feel that I'm living small. You know, I've had conversations, I don't know if this has happened to you before, where I'm talking about something and I can feel like my brain cells are diminishing. I'm like, what are we talking about here? This seems so small. You ever had that time? That like, this is so beneath me. That's an indication that life was meant to live big. It was meant to live grand. Or in other words, God wants you to be free. Free in your thoughts, free in your life, free in your physical life, your financial life, and free in your spiritual life, which is where it all begins. We talked about this last Sunday, which was Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus died for our sins, but he died so that we can live free. When he conquered death, death is the ultimate form of bondage. When he conquered death, he liberated mankind to live free. And so I have good news for you today. You are free. That's the word of the Lord. You are free today. Praise God. I'm really excited about this word because I believe, truly, if you lock in on what I'm saying to you, really, if you really lock in on this, you're going to live at another level of freedom. Do you believe that? Now, I quoted this scripture last week, and we'll go to it again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll look at verse 15, okay? And this passage of scripture is in reference to the Old Testament and New Testament. And Paul, the apostle, is establishing that, not that the Old Testament is irrelevant, not that the Old Testament shouldn't be read or has no value to it, but if you base your position with God on the Old Testament, then there's a veil. You're not seeing the full picture. You're blinded. And there's some people who live like that. They live by the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul is showing that if you live like that, you're blinded. Okay? And then he contrasts that with the New Testament. And he shows how the New Testament causes you not to be blinded, but causes you to see. So I'm going to pick up on verse 15. It says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, or when Moses' law, the law that Moses gave, when Moses' law is lived by, when you base your righteousness on that, what happens? A veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, if this is going to help you remember this word, everybody just do this. Look at me. Okay, put your hand like this and just do this. All right, I want you to do that because I want you to remember what it means to turn to the Lord. Do this again. This represents like a focal point. So now we're shifting our focus to the Lord. Let's do that one more time. When one turns to the Lord. This is what's happening. He's shifting. He says, listen, you've been reading Moses. You've been reading the law. You've been reading the Ten Commandments. You've been applying your heart to the Levitical commandments. You've been applying your heart to the priestly commandments. That's wonderful. But now, as you've been focused on that, we are turning to the Lord. Amen? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, as I mentioned last week, this is not just turning to the Lord means I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It starts there. That's the most important thing. But let's go beyond that. Let's go to the point where we are turning to the Lord to study him. We're turning to the Lord for him to be our, what did I say last week? Our mentor. Somebody say it loud. Our mentor. What does it mean when someone is your mentor? That means you don't just believe on him, but you study him. You pattern your life after him. You ask questions. You sit at his feet. You learn from him. And that's what a mentor does. A mentor expands your heart, expands your vision, shows you you're living a little too beneath your privileges here. Let me elevate you. That's what a mentor does. He elevates you. And so we're turning to the Lord, and what the series is doing is causing us to refocus on how Christ modeled freedom, because he was the ultimate embodiment of freedom. He lived free. He lived unhindered. He didn't live void of challenges. He didn't live void of adverse circumstances. But in the face of adverse circumstances, in the face of challenges, he lived free. Somebody say free. How am I going to live free? When I turn to the Lord. When I allow my focus to come off of the menial, the things that cause me to lose brain cells, the idiotic things, the wasteful things, the things that bring no fruit to my life. When I take my attention off of that and I turn to the Lord, I'm going to be modeling my life after him. This is awesome. You with me? Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is what? So we're turning to the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So as I refocus my attention, as I refocus and study the Lord, study how he lived, study how he taught, study how he responded to adverse circumstances, I'm turning my attention to a model of liberty, of freedom. Praise God. Amen. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, as you can see here, I placed a mirror. Okay, I'll just move this to the side for those who may not be able to see clearly. And I wanted to use this mirror as an illustration. Hi, guys. In this verse, it says that we all with unveiled face. That means now we see clearly. We're not blinded. We're not studying Moses' law. We're not looking at, you know, the Old Testament for our justification. The veil has been removed. We all with unveiled face, beholding, looking, putting our attention on the Lord as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. What's happening when you're doing that? You're being transformed. Somebody say transformed. Into the same image. Now, we are like Christ. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, you became like Christ, right? But if you want to look like Christ, which is what we are all about here at Life Church, we want to embody Christ. We want to look like, we want to talk like him. What has to happen? He has to become your mentor. And as you behold him, as you're constantly studying him, as you're constantly looking at him, what's happening? You are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what dawned on me? Everything you behold, everything that you look at, you are looking like. Some people wonder, why do I have an issue with lust? Well, here's a question. What are you looking at? Simple. The more you look at it, the more you become it. Why do I have a problem with, you know, financial issues? Well, what are you looking at? Are you studying people who know about money? Are you around a lot of conversations that center around lack and insufficiency. Because whatever you're beholding, if that's the center of your conversation, what you don't have, what you want, what you wish you could afford, if that's all that's coming out of your lips, that's what you're beholding. And guess what's happening? You're being transformed into that image of brokenness. Everything you behold, everything you look at, everything you look at, you become. Now here's the amazing thing. The Bible says that we're beholding the glory as like in a mirror. So it's like Jesus is the mirror, right? You looked in the mirror, right? This morning, you saw yourself. You arranged yourself. You fixed yourself. You did your hair, everything. But as you look in the mirror, you're looking at yourself, right? But the Bible's saying that this, pretend this mirror is like Jesus, right? So just like you're looking at yourself, this is who you're looking at. I'm looking at myself. I have a tie on. I have jeans. I have a purple shirt. I'm looking at myself. But the Bible's saying, really, when you're looking at Jesus, you are looking at yourself. But what's happening is you're coming into focus that you really look like Jesus. So Jesus is the mirror. You're looking at yourself. You may not be able to distinguish everything, but as you keep looking at Jesus, what's happening? You're coming to the revelation that, wait a minute, I really am looking like Jesus. Everything about him is true of me. You're being transformed every time you make it a focal point of your life. Every time you make Jesus your mentor, you're being transformed into that image. Now look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Hebrews 12, look at verse 2. It reads, looking unto Jesus. Somebody say, looking unto Jesus. Again, taking our attention off of whatever it's on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. I did a study some time ago and I preached it. I think I preached it once here, and that was how to be a finisher. And I studied the life of Jesus, how Jesus was a finisher. He didn't just start things and not complete it. You know people like that who start, don't finish. I start this, don't finish. I start that. They're excited about new ideas, but the new ideas never come to fruition. Right? Jesus wasn't like that. The Bible says he was the author. He started it all and he's finishing it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And if you want to be a finisher in life, not just a starter, look unto Jesus. Let him be your mentor. Focus on how he persevered and pushed past circumstances. Focus on how he embodied finishing. When he said, Jesus, stay a little longer, he said, I can't. I want to. I can't. For this purpose, I've come. Jesus was purpose-driven. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You are that joy. Finishing the work of the Lord was that joy. Despising the shame. And he has sat down at the right hand of the house of God. The throne of God, excuse me. I'm excited to remind you that you can look like Jesus. You can live totally free. You do not have to be in bondage to anything. And I'm going to give you the second key as to how to do that. If we're going to pattern our lives after Jesus, what did he do? One of the things that came to my heart that I thought to share with you, and this is really, really simple but very, very powerful, is that Jesus saw God, first and foremost, as his Father. He saw him as his Father. Somebody say Father. Fathers, and I'm not going to go on a soapbox today, but you know how I feel about the presence of a father. The presence of a father in a home produces liberty, produces freedom. And having revelation of God, not as God first, but as Father, produces freedom in your life. He's your Father today. Somebody say, he's my Father. He's your Father. Turn with me to John chapter 8. This particular, I want to show you something that is really going to really, I hope it's going to really leave an imprint on you. John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to some religious leaders, and look at how many times he refers to the Lord as Father. That's not by accident. Let's start John 8. We're going to start at verse 16. Now, again, he's having this discussion with these religious leaders, and they're going back and forth, and they're trying to minimize who he is. And this is what he says in verse 16. And yet I do judge. If I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Look at verse 17. Excuse me, not 17. Look at verse 18. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Notice that he's identifying himself as a son. A son abides forever. In other words, there's a difference between a son and a slave. And when you see yourself as a son or a child of God, you will abide forever. We love to look at God as God and judge and righteous and Lord. And he's all those things. But remember, the very first thing that Jesus wanted to model was that he is first and foremost your Father. Somebody say, Abba, Father. Abba means Father. And when you have a revelation, when we have an understanding that God is our Father, it produces liberty. He continues, look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. We'll actually skip to verse 49. Did I went ahead of myself? Excuse me, I did. We'll come back to that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So having a revelation that God is first and foremost your Father is what produces liberty. Somebody say, I'm free. Now, turn with me to James chapter 1, going back to this mirror thing. James chapter 1. This is one of my favorite scriptures as it relates to walking in liberty. Praise the Lord. Is this good? Let's start with verse 21. Excuse me, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. What should we be? We should be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So if you are a hearer only, what are you doing? How are you deceiving yourself? What does that mean? If you just hear the word and don't do it, what are you tricking yourself? How are you tricking yourself? Ever asked yourself that question? What am I tricking myself to think? What's that? That I'm benefiting from it. I'm hearing the word, and so I'm not going to do it, but I'm hearing it. Like, you know how people say, well, you know, I went to church, so, you know, I'm good. But you're deceiving yourself if you don't apply it, if you don't become a doer of it. Because being in church, doesn't it make you feel good? It's the presence of the Lord, and there's healing in the presence of God. There's wonderful things in the presence of God, but if we just stay at that level, we'll be deceiving ourselves if we don't apply it, because all that God would have for us to experience, we won't experience. So it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Look at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So going back to this mirror, if you're a hearer, you're looking at yourself in the mirror, you're saying, okay, I look good, I'm fine. But then you walk away from the mirror, and what happens? You forget what you look like, right? Now, this has happened to me before, and I don't know if it's happened to you, but you ever been in a situation, especially if you're, you know, speaking publicly, you know, you're before people, and you think that something's not right. Like, this has happened to me many times. People say, oh, Pastor, your collar was wrong. I wish I could have just walked up and just fixed your collar for you. Or let's just say you think something's in your eye, or your nose is not clean, or something's wrong with your hair, and you can't change it. In other words, you're not clear. I'm good? Okay. I got this mirror now, so. But if you think something's wrong with you, but you can't check, what happens? You're not free. Aren't you inhibited? Aren't you talking to people? You're like, yeah, you know how you do it. So, and you're like, I wish I can get to the bathroom. I wish I can check what I look like. Why? Because knowing what I look like produces freedom. Once I know what I look like, I'm relaxed. So, okay, I see that. I can check that. Now I'm good. But here's the problem. When we don't know who we are or what we look like, we're not free. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So, how do I live free? You continue in the word. You continuously put Jesus before you. You allow him to be your mentor. As you study him, what happens? You don't become a forgetful hearer. And as you're looking at him, you're looking like him. And as you're looking like him, you're modeling freedom, the freedom that he walked in when he was on the earth. You are free in Jesus' name. I'm excited about that. Now, I love this scripture. Go to Romans chapter 8. This is beautiful. Romans 8. Look at verse 15. It reads, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. What didn't you receive? So bondage could be a spirit, right? You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Yeah, that's, I'm trying to keep myself from going. This is one of the reasons why a while ago I made a decision not to watch horror films. Not because I'm scared. A little, but you know, not really for that reason. No, but really, years ago the Lord impressed upon me, it's a spirit of fear. Why allow yourself to be entertained by the spirit of fear? You guys still with me? You still like me? I know some of you guys like your horror films. Trust me, I know. I'm dating myself here, but I used to like Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger, Jason. Anybody know about Jason? Right? I love that. One, two, Freddy's coming for you. Three, four, better lock your door. Remember that? That was that eerie sing when they were like, double, five, six, better play up. 9, 10, Freddy's coming again. I know about that. But it's a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Tristan, it's okay, man. So if I did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, let me not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But I'm not scared, Pastor. I can watch. I know you're not scared. I know you're an adult. I know you can handle it. You might not be scared of the movie, right? But you're still embracing the spirit of fear. So it may not be the movie that frightens you, but maybe now you're frightened on going on a job interview. Maybe you're frightened at talking to people face to face. Maybe you're frightened at dealing with uncomfortable circumstances. You're frightened about dealing with things you don't want to deal with. But I love my movies. I'm good with that. It's the spirit of bondage again to fear. The Bible says that you did not receive that. Can I go a little deeper? I know we have children here, but I'll be, you know, as modest as I can. This even translates into the bedroom. You know what I'm talking about. There are certain fetishes that speak to bondage. And it's all in the name of, you know, just fun and whatever. No. It could be cool in one sense, but if you know the root of it, it's the spirit of bondage again to fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to receive, what did we receive? But we received the spirit of adoption. So that means when I was adopted by God, he became my father. So now that he's my father, that means, because that's the antithesis of the spirit of bondage, that means there is no fear in that, and that means there's no bondage. The opposite of bondage is freedom. Knowing God as your father produces freedom. That's what I receive. The spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Somebody say, Abba, Father. Oh, that's awesome. We are crying out. Your heart is crying out, Abba, Father. That's what your spirit is saying, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And that's wonderful to know God as your father. He's not just your Lord. He's not just your judge. He is your father. They came to Jesus. Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father. Some of us, we didn't grow up with dads. We didn't grow up with dads that were present or that were caring or loving. But I want you to know, your heavenly father is not your natural father. And if you had a great natural father, praise God, he got that from your heavenly father. Our heavenly father is perfect. He's loving. He's present. He's there. He's giving. He's compassionate. He's strong. He's one who will correct you. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We endure chastisement from natural fathers and we pay them respect. How much more should we endure correction from our father? For if he corrects you, that means he loves you. Praise God. He's your father. Someone say, Abba, Father. Come on. I want you to embrace this spirit of freedom. There's going to come a freedom when you realize that I live in my father's house. I live in my father's house. This is my father's house. This is my father's house. Everything that he has is for me. It's my father's house. Now listen, you didn't grow up in my house, right? So you probably don't feel free, right, to come to my parents' house and, you know, go into the refrigerator without asking, right? That makes sense? Because it's not the house you grew up in. Now, I don't live with my parents anymore. I have my own house. But if I visit my parents, I can walk in and open the fridge without, I don't have to ask dad, can I have a drink of water? Mom, can I use the bathroom? That'd be weird, right? If you have to ask your parents to use the restroom, you know you can because this is your father's house. And everything that they have is for me. There is freedom in father's house. There's no bondage. There is no timidity. There is no, well, can I do this? Can I do that? No, there is freedom. And I want you to continue to talk to the Lord as if he's your father. Let's model Jesus. Because I guarantee you every time, or I would say 99% of the times that Jesus speaks of the Lord, he speaks to him in terms of father. So if I'm studying Jesus, what can I pick up from him? He saw the Lord as father. So going back to this mirror, the more I see the Lord as Father and I speak to him as Father, what's happening? I'm being transformed the way Jesus looks. I'm modeling Jesus. I talk to the Lord, Father, you're my dad. You're my daddy. You're the one who loves me unconditionally. You're the one who causes me to be free. You're my Father. And remember the prodigal son? Remember the older son who had a problem with the fact that the father was loving on his younger son, even though the younger son was a brat? And what did the father say to the oldest son? He says, son, all that I have is for you. All that I have is for you. So I want you to be free in talking to your daddy as father. Watch what happens. This is a spiritual thing. It's going to bring you to another level of freedom. Let's look at it again. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, our spirits are crying out, Abba, Father. Let's look at Galatians 4. Look at verse 6. It reads, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of his Son, whom we've turned to. Remember, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So our spirits are crying out, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, is crying out, Abba, Father. Is that amazing? Let me explain something to you. This, I don't want you to get lost in this. You have a spirit that's different from the Holy Spirit. You understand that? Though the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you have a spirit that is unique to you. The Bible showed in Romans that your spirit cries, Abba, Father. The Bible also shows that God has sent forth his spirit, and that spirit is crying out, Abba, Father. That's amazing. What happens? I believe that the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, into our spirits, and our spirits just release that cry that, Lord, you are my Father. In you, I have total freedom. Look at John chapter 11. Let's look at this again. Praise the Lord. Actually, 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? Notice the emphasis here. Again, it didn't say, behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us, or just God, or that's all you see. No, it's emphasizing that it's the Father that has bestowed love upon you by virtue of the fact that he has called you a child of his. He's telling you that you are loved. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So I'm a child of God, and I'm free in my Father's house. I'm free to ask. You know, I would hear people say this often. Pastor, I had a wonderful time in worship. I didn't even ask the Lord anything. I just wanted to worship him. And I understand what that is like, because sometimes you get into worship, and it's just, that's all you're doing, worship. But when people say that, it tells me, people look at asking for things as less holy than worship. They look at it that way. And when we were growing up, a lot of times, didn't your parents tell you, don't ask for stuff? Stop asking. Okay, when we go to this person's house, don't ask. Anybody had a parent like that? Anybody parent is in this room that told you that? Don't ask for anything. Don't ask. Why? You look beggarly. You look like I'm not taking good care of you. Yeah, Ma, that's why I'm asking. You look like you're hungry. Well, yeah, I am hungry. You look like I don't cook good food here. Well, so don't ask. And so when we relate to God, subconsciously, we look at asking as less holy than worship. You know why we look at that? Because subconsciously, somehow in our hearts, we feel like God is more interested in being worshiped than he is being asked. Why do we think that? Because we relate God to human beings. Isn't it true that human beings prefer you worship them than ask me for something? I prefer you tell me how great I am before you tell me, you know, what your needs are. Isn't that how we relate? God is not like that. He's your father. As a matter of fact, when we come to him asking, we're demonstrating something. I believe in you. Asking is a form of worship. Asking is a form of worship. When we come to God asking for things, we're saying, Lord, you're the source. Because there's some people who don't ask. I'll tell you, here's another, sacred cow. People say, God loves to help those who help themselves. Right? And the thinking is, I've heard it said this way. God won't do anything that you can do yourself. Sounds good. See, I can go to certain churches right now and say that, and people are like, amen. God won't do anything that you can't do yourself. You better preach that, boy, yeah. But that's not true. There's a lot of things you can do yourself. But because he's your father, let me do it for you. Like if I'm chilling with my wife and we're on the couch and I say, babes, can you get me a glass of water? Now, can I do it myself? Absolutely I can. But I want to see my wife get up with her fine self so I can look like, yeah, you better get that water. Strutting like that. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just want to look. Let me see what you got. Show me what you're working with. And that's what God is saying. Yeah. Lord, I can do this myself. Lord, I could probably figure it out on my own. But let me see what you're working with, God. Show me your glory. Show me your power. Show me what I can do by myself, but show me that you could do it better. God doesn't just reserve his power for when you can't anymore. Sometimes he'll do something just because I love you. Just because I want to give you more time. He does it because he's your heavenly father and he loves you. When we understand that, we'll be free to ask God freely. Lord, you're my father. You're my father. Someone say, you're my father. Come on, I want you to get used to seeing God as your father. You're my daddy. Yes. What's that Jamaican song? He is my daddy, oh. I'm not Jamaican. He is my daddy. You guys know that song? Maybe we'll do that afterwards. Don't speak. How's that go? Don't speak defeat to me. Something like that. He's your daddy. He's your father. And thank God he is. Won't we just lift up our hands and bless the Lord for being our father? Come on, lift up a shout right there that he's your father. Come on, if you're excited that he's your daddy and he's taking good care of you, would you just release a shout unto his name that he's your father? Come on, he's your father today. He's your father today. He loves you. He's taking good care of you. He's your father. He's your father. He's not just your God. He's not just your judge. He's not just your Lord. He's your father. Oh, I just love that. The more we talk to him as father, I'm telling you, it's a spiritual thing. You're going to sense the spirit of liberty. Jesus didn't just say, Father, 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 for no reason. He was reinforcing that I have the right to do what I'm doing because my Father has given me the authority. My Father is with me. My Father gave. Look at the scripture found in John 13. Look at verse 3. I love it. John 13, look at verse 3. It says, Jesus knowing that the Father, look at that. It doesn't say God. The Lord of the universe, And we like to worship God like that, and that's fine. We can and we should, because sometimes it just gives you a sense of grandness, which he is. But I love the fact that you'll see Father often in the ministry of Jesus. You know why? Because I believe God wants us to know that he's close. He's not just the maker of the galaxies and the universe and the Milky Way, and he's just so way out there. He's Father. Jesus, knowing. Somebody say knowing. Say aloud, knowing. That's the difference. It's knowing something. I could preach it all day, but do you know it? Do you know about the Father's ministry? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. I love that. That's why I love this message, because it reminds me that the Father is a giver. The Father's a giver. I remember when, sad, but I remember I was working, and there was a doorman that would visit the office that I worked at, because we managed certain buildings, so sometimes some of the staff in the building would come up, get their check and things like that. So I would give him this check, and he was telling me, yeah, man, I have 2 more years before my daughter reaches 18, and no more child support. And he was like happy. He was rejoicing that after 18, I am free. And I was like, wow, isn't that amazing? That we have to have a system in place that makes people take care of their children. And once they reach a certain age, they feel liberty. Aren't you glad that you can be saved for 18 years and God is still committed to caring for you? You can be saved for 21 years and he's still committed to being your father? Jesus was 30 years old. But he realized the Father has given him all things. I'm saying all things. He didn't reach a certain age and God said, well, nope, you got to help yourself now. I helped you along. Nope, I'm free. No more child support. 18 years. He found out it wasn't his. No, God found out you were his, and he's rejoicing because he is your father. Praise God. He's your father. So we can come to him freely. We can come to him boldly. The Bible says, you keep that verse up, Jay. It says that he, knowing that God has given him all things into his hands, that he had come down from God and was going to God. Look at verse 4. Rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And then we don't have time to read this. What he did afterwards, he washed their feet. Jesus was able to serve even that which was considered menial. Why? I know that the Father has given me all things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's some people who are in bondage to their own pride. They can't do certain things. They won't go certain places. They can't look a certain way. Why? What are they going to think? I can't take a picture with you. I can't be here with this person. What are they going to think? I can't testify of Jesus. How am I going to look like? Jesus says, guess what? I'll do you one better. I'll get down and I'll clean in your toes. I'll scrub. Why? I know that God has given me, the Father has given me all things. In other words, when you know what you have, when you know who God is, when you know that he's your Father, you're free to serve, you're free to give, you're free to minister, you're free because you know that all things have been given to you. And you also know where you came from, and you also know where you're going. Praise God. He's your Father. He's your Father. Let me give you one more scripture, maybe two. Look at John chapter 17, verse 26, John 17. Now, this particular chapter, Jesus is praying very intimately. And, you know, he's pouring his heart out to the Lord. And he says, "And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. That the love with which you loved me." Look at that. Jesus was acquainted with the love of the Father. He says, "I've declared your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." I'm telling you, the ultimate place of freedom is to have a revelation of the Father's love for you. I grew up seeing this, and I'm sure you did also. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Bumper stickers, Jesus loves you, right? A little, you know, t-shirt, Jesus loves you, or whatever. But I want you to pray this prayer. "Lord, give me a revelation of your love. Open my eyes to feel your love as a son or a daughter would feel the love of their father. I want to know your love intimately." You know what's going to happen? Something supernatural. What's going to happen? The Holy Spirit will burst a revelation of his love for you. And all of a sudden, the fears of lack go. The fears of insecurity go. All the entrapments go. Because there's something freeing about the love of a father. There's something amazing about that. When the Father and his love is known to you, there's a sense of boldness. There's a sense of security. I remember the Lord showed me this, that he would not hold my future against me. He would not hold your future against you. What does that mean? Meaning, sometimes we think that the Lord won't do certain things because he knows you're going to mess up in the future. And then he reminded me of Solomon, how he gave Solomon riches beyond any other king. But God knew that Solomon would turn from the Lord. But God didn't hold his future against him. What am I saying? Don't be afraid. Be free. I'm not saying to disregard the, but sometimes we're so afraid of making a mistake, we lose sight of the fact that his love is bigger than our mistakes. His love will cover us. I remember one day I was preaching. This rarely happens to me. I was in a hotel preaching. I was holding a meeting. This is when I was having a traveling ministry. And there was this particular verse, I believe in Psalm 18, I believe. And the Bible says that he enlarged my path before me. And as I was preaching this, I just busted out crying. Remember that? I just like, it's like the Lord just did something. Like as I'm preaching this, the Lord just showed me, oh my God. And then he began to remind me, it's just like a parent who is watching their child walk for the very first time. And that child may stumble, and maybe they're 9 months old, 10 months old. And you see something that might hurt the child, right? What do you do? What does a parent naturally do? They run and they move it out the way, right? They don't stop the child from walking. In other words, they enlarge the path. Something's here, let me move that out the way. Now the child is stumbling, you know, laughing, being silly, don't know what's going on. The parent just wants to see the child walk. They're not concerned about the mistakes. I'll deal with the mistakes. Just keep walking. I'll enlarge your path before you. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. And that's exactly what a father does. He sees that you're moving forward. And sometimes we think we got to get it right. We got to be perfect. We got to make sure that everything is on point. Let me tell you something. God is enlarging your path. So that when you get to your destination, you'll know, I don't know how I got here. It was my father. He moved it out the way. That's what he's doing to you today. He's enlarging your path. So if you're afraid of making a mistake, if you're afraid, I'll talk about that next week about making decisions. It's going to be very powerful because that's another element of walking in freedom, being free to make decisions. Some of you, you're entrapped because you're simply not making the decision. Oh, it's going to be really good. But if you're afraid of making a decision, you're afraid of making the wrong decision, making the wrong step, I want you to know the Lord has a way of moving things out the way so that you can walk. Father, we bless you. You're our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for loving us unconditionally, for being our Father, our Daddy, the one who's in the house with us. You're present. You're here. You're very presently here, Father God. You're here helping us, Lord. You're not distant. You're not far off. You're not unconcerned. No, Lord God. You're concerned and you love us. And we love you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name.
This concludes today's message. If you need prayer, want to give a donation, or would like more information about Life Church, visit us at www.nylifechurch.com.